Welcome to the Faith Rest Show. For the next 15 minutes, we will learn how God has a plan for our lives, to live a life of faith and rest. Impilo yoku kolwa, yoku pumula. I am your host, Tom Molinar, bringing to you the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 32, verse 7, "You, O God, are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." Selah. Today's message is the first message of a short series called God's Protection. In our study groups in Barberton and Matsulu, we have been learning how God protects us in the worst adversities in life. These next five Bible messages will be a review of what we have been studying. Our study into this subject came about because of a real and terrible event that is happening in the world today. On the 25th of February, 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine. The war is ongoing even today in April 2022. We've been kept informed of the current situation by American missionaries who have had to escape for their own safety. Prayers from around the world have been offered, and God has answered those prayers. Many Christians have fled the country, while others have remained. But the Word of God continues to be preached even in the midst of war and destruction. The president of Ukraine, President Zelensky, who is a Jew, reported on 15 April that almost 3,000 Ukrainian soldiers have been killed and about 10,000 injured. They estimate almost 20,000 Russian casualties, and sources report that about 2,000 civilians have been killed. The city of Mariupol in Ukraine has been wiped off the face of the earth. What does all of this mean? How can we understand God's plan in all of this? Where is God? How can we have confidence in God if war or disaster comes to us here in South Africa? What should we be doing? The Bible gives us solutions for these kinds of adversities. In fact, the Bible gives us solutions for all difficulties, problems, and adversities in life. In our study, we looked at Psalm chapter 3. King David and part of Israel find themselves in a similar situation as Ukraine. David is being attacked by his own flesh and blood son, Absalom, who has a large army of over 20,000 soldiers with him. They are out to kill David and destroy his army. At this point, a little background information would be useful. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 3 that David's firstborn son was Amnon, but he was not a son from Bathsheba. His thirdborn son was Absalom, who had a sister by the name of Tamar. They were not born of Bathsheba either. Eventually, God's plan was accomplished by the birth of Solomon from Bathsheba. Meanwhile, we read in 2 Samuel 13:12 that Amnon fell in love with his half-sister Tamar, but he would not marry her. He lusted for her and finally raped her. After he raped her, Amnon hated Tamar more than he had loved her. In his rage and guilt and anger, he yelled at Tamar and said, "Get up and get out." He sent her away, and she was living with her brother Absalom. Absalom learned about the rape and hated Amnon and planned to kill him. The sad thing we learn from this incident is that King David did nothing. Even according to the Mosaic law, Amnon had committed a terrible crime that David, as the king, was responsible to administer justice. But he failed. Absalom took the matter into his own hands, and 2 years later, he planned for the murder of his half-brother, Amnon. Once again, we see that David was silent in this crime, and he failed in his responsibility as king. We learn that the decisions that we make determine our life. Bad decisions reap bad outcomes, whereas good decisions reap good outcomes. At this time in David's life, there were many bad decisions being made. Amnon made bad decisions. Look what happened to him. He allowed his weakness of sexual lust to control him. He fell into the temptation and plotted an evil scheme to deceive and rape his half-sister Tamar. His bad decisions affected other people and brought disgrace on and dishonor upon Tamar. He committed a crime of rape, and he should have been punished. Amnon's bad decisions led to his death. And then we have Absalom, Amnon's half-brother, who also was making bad decisions. And look what happened to him. He allowed anger and hatred to control him to the point of plotting the murder of Amnon. His arrogance and lust for power led him to rebel against his own father, King David, and attempt to assassinate him, and then replace him to become a new king over all of Israel. Absalom's bad decisions led to his downfall, and he died a shameful and disgraceful death. Furthermore, David was making one bad decision after another bad decision. As king of Israel, when he should have been administering justice, he was doing nothing. He allowed Amnon and Absalom to go unpunished. David is now reaping the consequences of his own bad decisions. With these historical events, the Bible helps us to understand why these things happened and how God deals with these events. Then we are better to able to understand and interpret what is happening around us today and how we must be able to deal with them. So we come to understand two important biblical principles. Number one, the choices that we make determine the life we live. Bad choices produce bad outcomes. Good choices produce good outcomes. We read in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, quote, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." In other words, we cannot blame God for suffering, for discipline or punishment that is caused by our own wrong choices and stupid mistakes. Psalm chapter 7, verses 15 through 16 tells us, "He who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit that he has made. The trouble that he causes recoils on himself, and his violence comes down upon his own head." And Proverbs 26, verse 27 reads, "If a man digs a pit for another person to fall into, he will fall into it himself. And if a man rolls a stone to try and crush another man, it will roll back on him and crush himself instead." The psalm was written by King David, and the proverb came to us by way of his son Solomon. Both of these men had many experiences with bad and good decisions and the consequences they had to face. Even on a larger scale, we learn that God does not have to bring discipline or punishment upon nations or people. Man does it to himself, all by himself. And so the second principle that we learn from these historical biblical examples is this. Number two, God's grace always provides a means of recovery. Man as an individual can choose to recover, and nations can recover when its own citizens choose to recover. All throughout history, time and time again, we see examples of God's grace with regard to a single person and even a nation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. In our example, Amnon chose not to recover, and Absalom chose not to recover. But King David, a man after God's own heart, always chose to recover, even with all of his faults and failures. We read in Psalm chapter 32, verses 4 through 5, David prayed. He prayed this, "For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you, O God, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to you, O Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." We see in David a leadership trait that is covered in our Christian leadership book, the trait of humility, a Zulu word of ukutoba, meaning to bow down in respect, and shlonipa, which means to be respectful and to honor. David bowed in respect to God. Even in his failures, he remembered how to recover and how to be restored back into fellowship with God. God says that David was a man after his own heart because he acknowledged his sins to God and he demonstrated his faith and was committed to following the Lord. And we read this in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, and also in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. In Psalm 3:3, we see David's ability to rest in the faith that he has in God's plan. David says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head." At this point in our study, we could take a time to look at a few practical application lessons. Number one, adversity is going to happen, but we do not have to remain in the mud of adversity and self-pity. Number two, we can recover simply by admitting our failures to God and continue to grow in faith and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the same simple process of recovery as David did. We have it in the promise of 1 John 1:9. If we name our sins to God, then he is always faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number three, the problem occurs when you cannot remember what you have done. In order to remember something, you need to have learned it in the first place. You can't remember something that you never knew or even ever learned. David knew how to recover because he learned it from his father Jesse, who taught it to him from Moses, from the first five books of the Bible. The last point that we would summarize is that we learn that God is our shield of protection, not man, not armies, not government. And even though David still had an army around him, the army was not his shield. God was his shield of protection all around him. As we continue in this study of God's protection, we're going to be reminded of what our Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, who had faced tremendous difficulties and persecution and death. Jesus Christ comforted his disciples with these words in John 16:33. Before he was crucified on the cross, he said this, "I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You can have that same shield of protection right now by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that he went to the cross as your substitute and paid for your sins. O kolwa yiyo angabubi, kolwa abe nokupila okupakare. Thank you for listening. Until next time. The scripture references in this Bible cast message came from the King James Version, copyright 1982. The opening hymn of How Great Thou Art is sung by Wintley Phipps in his album called No Need to Fear. I hope that you might have learned something from this short Bible message. If you would like more of these messages, you may contact me by email at info@molinar.coza. That's info@molinar.co.za.